This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. John chapter 11, verse 16. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, or that word literally means twin, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Let us also go that we may die with him. Let us pray. Jesus, I cannot. You never said I could. You can. You always said you would. Use us today. Hide us in the cross of Calvary. Minister to people. And for all you do, we're going to praise you. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A few weeks ago, I began a series of messages entitled The Chosen. And we've been talking about how Jesus chose 12 men. Now, I want you to realize something, folks. There was 250 million on the earth when Jesus chose those 12. 250 million, but he chose 12 men. Today, from those 12 men, we have over 2 billion followers of Christ on the earth. But it all traces back to 12 men. So they had to be special men. And we laid a foundation in week one of the fact that God chose them. Week two, we talked about Peter and how Peter had a propensity to put his foot in his mouth. And then the third week, Pastor Cameron, Pastor Trey, Pastor Craig did a phenomenal job. They brought things out of the scripture that I'd never thought about concerning Andrew, just profound messages on Andrew. But that brings us to the message today. It's the message about Thomas. And this is what we know about Thomas. Thomas was a twin. Thomas was a twin. We don't know if he had a brother. We don't know if he had a sister. But one thing we know, he was a twin, and he was the only disciple that was a twin. I did a little research on what increases the likelihood of people having twins. What increases the likelihood of a woman having a twin? Because one out of every 250 pregnancies ends up this way. It was interesting. I found out that genetics is true. Twins do run in some people's families. So genetics plays a part in whether or not you're a twin. This was interesting. Did you know if the birth mother is above 35 years of age, there's a greater likelihood that she'll have twins. If she's above 35, so if that birth mother's older, there's a possibility, a greater possibility that she'll have twins. This was interesting. If the lady is tall, there's a greater likelihood that she'll have twins than if she's short. This was interesting. Black women, are more prone to have twins than white women. But white women are more prone to have twins than Asian and Hispanic women. Somebody said it like this: God makes twins when he makes a face he really likes. God makes twins when he makes a face that he really likes. Now here's what's interesting. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew just listed Thomas's name. Mark just listed Thomas's name. Luke just listed Thomas's name. Only John wrote about Thomas. Only John. And it's believed that they grew up in Galilee, that perhaps Thomas and John grew up together. So everything we learn about Thomas the twin, we learn from the book of John. Now here's what I want you to see. I want you to see three things that are very important about Thomas. First of all, Thomas was cynical. Thomas was cynical. If he had completed a DIS profile, he would have been a melancholy personality. He was a cynical type of guy. But here's what I want to say, and then I'll preach on. Folks, let me tell you something. God uses all personality types. God uses all personality types. He creates us. See, you're a unique person, and God's put a unique passion in you because he's made you for a unique purpose. And God uses all different personality types. And I'll tell you who Thomas was. He was pessimistic. Thomas was very cautious. Thomas said, "Prove it to me." Thomas read the fine print. Thomas, when he put something together, when I used to get toys for Savannah for Christmas, there were always pieces left over after I put them together. I never read the instructions, but Thomas would always read the instructions. He had a tendency to be negative. I read about a person one time that was just so negative, and you've met people, they're just negative, negative, negative. I mean, they walk into a dark room, they develop, amen? They're just negative. I mean, my goodness, they just negative. The world's coming to an end. Everybody's going to die of COVID, and we're never going to get no more gas. And this guy was that way. Everything's going to be bad. It's all going to be bad. And one day his friend was out and he was on a lake and he saw a dog. And the dog was walking on the water. By the way, it wasn't a boy dog. It was just a dog. And it was walking on the water. And he said, "My goodness, I've never seen anything like that. I can't wait to tell my friend, because when I tell him that, there's nothing he can say negative about that." And he said, "Come on, let's go out to the lake." He took him out to the lake, and sure enough, the dog was walking on water. And he said, "What do you think about that?" He said, "That dog can't swim." Now, let me show you something, folks. Look here. The Bible says in John 10 and 39, "Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand." Wait. They're trying to arrest Jesus in Jerusalem, but he escapes. He escapes away from them in Jerusalem, and he goes down to the Jordan area, down beyond the Jordan River. Jesus escapes out of their hand. While he's down there, something happens. Look. "Therefore his sisters," this is Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, "sent unto him, saying, Lord," get this, folks, "behold, whom thou lovest is sick." You remember Lazarus got sick? But I want you to get that verse. "Lord, whom thou lovest is sick." They didn't say the one who loves you is sick. They said the one whom you lovest is sick. Here's something we need to remind ourselves. Even when we're going through a low time, God still loves you. Even when you're sick, even when you're hurting, even when you're discouraged, even when everything's not going right, I want you to know, he whom thou lovest is sick. God loves you no matter what's going on in your life. Many times the enemy will tell us, if God loved you, this wouldn't be happening. But I want you to know, even when you're in a low time, God loves you. Now, what happened? Jesus is away from Jerusalem, and they said, "We need Jesus to come back because Lazarus is sick." Well, look what verse 8 says. His disciples said, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. If you're going to go back to Jerusalem, they're going to kill you. Why would you go back to Jerusalem?" And then, look at verse 16. Then Thomas, the twin, unto his fellow disciples, look what he said. "We might as well go with him. We're all going to die anyway." "We might as well go with him." Well, and you know, folks, I'll say this. He had enough influence. He influenced them to go at least with him. But here was Thomas. Thomas was cynical. He said, "Let's just go on. It's not going to matter anyway. Once we get there, we're all going to get killed." Now get this, folks. That's a terrible way to live life, by the way. Because you know what happened? Once they got there, they experienced one of the greatest things ever. They experienced Jesus resurrecting a man. They experienced Jesus resurrecting Lazarus. This is what I'll tell you about the enemy. The enemy will tell you it's not going to be good. Never. Listen, you're not going to get any gas this week. You're going to get COVID going down there to Rock Springs Church. Benny Tate's a wild man. You better stay away from down there. But folks, let me tell you something. The devil will show you the negative, but many times if you listen to the negative, you'll miss the greatest blessing of your life. You'll miss the greatest blessing of your life. Don't live your life like that. Thomas was cynical. I'll tell you something else. Thomas was not only cynical, but Thomas was concerned. Thomas was concerned. Now, remember, the only person who speaks about Tom is John. And let me tell you what had happened since this. Jesus had them in the upper room. They had had the Lord's Supper. Jesus had washed their feet. Jesus had told them, guys, by the way, I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to be resurrected. I'm going to ascend to heaven. Guys, all this is going to happen. And look what Jesus actually said to them on this occasion, because these are some of the most famous verses in the Bible. Jesus said these words. He said, guys, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then he said, and whither I go, ye know. And the way you know. Now wait. Tom comes back into the picture. Tom said, Lord, we don't have a clue where you're going. That's Tom. Listen, I pastor a bunch of Toms. Lord, we don't have a clue where you're going. And by the way, Lord, while we're discussing this, how can we know the way? Folks, one of the most famous verses in the Bible, Jesus said, oh, listen, come up close, guys. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Look here, folks. The three greatest questions of the human heart. The three greatest questions of the human heart. How can I be saved? I am the way. How can I be sure? I am the truth. How can I be satisfied? I am the life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You can be saved. You can be sure. And you can be satisfied because of Jesus Christ. See, Thomas was cynical. Thomas was concerned, but Thomas had a great confession. Thomas had a great confession. You said, Pastor, as I've looked at the Bible, he was always referred to as Doubting Thomas. How did Thomas get that name? I'll tell you this. He got it, but I'm not convinced that he was really justified in that name. But I want us to see Thomas's great confession. In John chapter 20, it says, but Thomas was one of the 12. He was a twin. And he was not with them when Jesus came. I think he was out getting gas. He was taking his 87th COVID test. I don't know what he was doing, but he was out doing something. Amen. The other disciples therefore said unto him, Tom, while you were gone, we saw the Lord. Tom said, wait, guys, except I see the prints in his hands, the nails, and put my finger into his side and thrust my hand in there, I will not believe. That's where he gets the name, Doubting Thomas. Now I want to give you three things. These are important. Number one, doubt is not disbelief. Doubt is not disbelief. Somebody said, Pastor Benny, doubt is the opposite of faith. No, it's not. Unbelief's the opposite of faith. Doubt is when I have faith, but I struggle in my faith. Doubt is when I have faith and I struggle in my faith. Now, I want you to hear this because this is so important. There are three groups of people: those who have doubted, those who will doubt, and those that are brain dead. Three groups: those that have doubted, those that will doubt, and those that are brain dead. Because you got to understand something, folks. We have an enemy. I love this quote. It said, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he doesn't exist. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world that he doesn't exist. Look here, folks. In Genesis chapter 2, you know the story. God said to Adam and Eve, don't you eat of that tree. Don't you eat of that tree, because when you do, you'll die. And they ate us out of house and home, remember? Don't you eat of that tree, you're going to die. God was very clear in those verses. But wait, in Genesis 3:1, look what happens. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field that the Lord had made. And look, he said to the woman, I mean, here's just a message, folks. He comes to her in the form of a snake. This is a message I'd say to women. Don't talk to snakes. Amen? If he's a snake, get away from him. You don't need to be hanging out with a snake. If he's slimy, you don't need him. I mean, I would tell Savannah, stay away from the snakes. When she was young, dating, I said, take your Bible. Take your Bible to the day. I don't want to do that, Daddy. Take your Bible. She wouldn't do it. I said, put that Bible between you and him. If he can crawl over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you don't need to be out with him, no way. Put that Bible in there. But look, the snake comes up. Hath God said? Look here, what the devil was doing, he's creating doubt. And what he wants to do in your mind is he wants to create doubt. See, we as preachers, our responsibility is not to get people to doubt. Our responsibility is to help people to believe. Doubt's not disbelief. But I want to tell you something else. Doubt leads to discovery. Doubt leads to discovery. Look at verse 26 and verse 27. After 8 days, wait, Jesus comes back. And Thomas is with him. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, in a glorified body. Somebody said, Pastor Benny, what's our glorified body going to be like when we get to heaven? I know this, you'll be able to walk through walls. Rocks and tombs couldn't keep him in. Walls and rooms couldn't keep him out. It's going to be a glorified body. Just going to be able to eat anything we want, never gain a pound. I believe that. And they won't be stuff like, you know, broccoli and all that. That won't be in heaven anyway. And he stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. And he saith to Thomas, look, Tom, reach in here, Tom. Touch my hands, Thomas. Touch my side. Touch, Thomas. I want you to see it. Now there's a couple things, folks, that's real important. I don't give Thomas a hard time, and I'll tell you why we shouldn't. Thomas only wanted to see what the others had already seen. He only wanted to see what the others had already seen. And get this, Jesus never rebuked Thomas. He never rebuked him. He never said you shouldn't doubt. He never rebuked him. He said, Tom, just feel here. I want you to know, Tom, I am the one. Now, folks, here's all I want to say. I'm almost done. You said, Pastor, I struggle with doubt. I struggle with doubt, and I need faith built in my heart. What can I do to build faith in my heart? Well, look here. What built faith in Thomas's heart? There were three things. Number one, his word. His word. See, John knew that Thomas struggled with doubt. But John also knew that we would too. And that's why he wrote 1 John. The same writer, the guy who wrote John, wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation. Look, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. So wait. There's people that will believe on the name of the Son of God. Yes, but look. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. He said, I've written the Bible. Not only so you can believe, but so you can know. And folks, the way to build faith in our hearts is get in the Bible. You say, I want faith to grow in my heart. Well, pick up your Bible. So how do we build faith? You build faith through his word. There's a second way you build faith. His presence. Jesus simply comes and spends time. He spends time with Thomas and it builds faith. You want to build faith in your heart? Get into the presence of God. Get into the presence of God. Spend time with God. The devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. There'll never be enough time, you have to make the time. There'll never be enough time, you have to make the time. What's more important? You keep every appointment. Why don't you keep one with him? You keep every other appointment. Why don't you make one with him and keep it? The creator of the universe. It's a pretty important meeting. His words, his presence, but get this, folks. His body. You say, well, what'd he do? He said, Tom, rub right here. Tom, rub right here. Understand something. What will build faith in your heart is the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Somebody said, we've got to isolate and we've got to get alone. And God said, we need the body. God said, by the way, we need one another. God said, we need, that's why I fought so hard, ladies and gentlemen, for church, because I understand we need one another. We need one another. The Bible says 50 times one another. So we need to one another, amen? Hey, do you ever think about the model prayer? You say, well, it's the Lord's prayer. No, it's not. He taught us to pray this prayer. It's not the Lord's prayer, it's our prayer. If we want to read his prayer, we got to read John chapter 17. It's our prayer. And I want to give you something. If you're writing, I wish you'd almost, if you had your Bible, I know we don't have much of that, but I wish you could even write in it. You say, well, I have a Bible I can't write in. Well, get you one you can. Get this. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Wait. And Father, forgive me, forgive us. Won't we just circle that? Our. Why don't we just circle that? As we. Why don't we just circle that? forgive our. Why don't we just circle that? And lead us. Why don't we circle that? Not into temptation, but deliver me, us, from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Folks, where did we ever get the ideal that we don't need corporate worship, that we don't need to come together? We need us. We need the body. We need one another. Now, let me give you the last point, and I'm done. Doubt can lead to a deeper life. Doubt can lead to a deeper life. You say, Pastor, this guy Thomas, whatever, this guy that was doubting, whatever became of Thomas? Well, if you study history, it's rather interesting. Thomas, this doubter, this cynical guy, he was the guy that God used to take the gospel to India. And there's churches established all over India today. Churches are established all over India because the man we refer to as Doubting Thomas. It was that doubting in his life that led him to a deeper walk with the Lord. You know what history says? History says all the disciples but one was martyred. Thomas was martyred. He was killed with a spear. And they said, Thomas, you're going to be killed with a spear. We're going to ram a spear through your heart. It was reported that Thomas said, that's only appropriate because there was a day in my life that I felt where a spear had been and it changed my life. It changed my life. Doubt can be a good thing because doubt can lead to a deeper life. Doubt can call us to question whether or not we're right with God. And it can lead us to make a decision to be right with God. Doubt can bring us to the place where we really trust God like we've never trusted God before.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rocksprings.online.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.